He knows all about our needs. And sometimes you think he is not at work, but he is always working for our good. Always working for our good. Many times it's behind the scenes, ways you don't see it. Eventually you will, but it's in those times it's hard to see. Well, God, are you really moving in this time? But he is faithful in all situations. Praise God. Amen. John chapter 12, I want to read just one verse of Scripture in the Gospel of John chapter 12. And I think that, we look to the Scripture for answers many times. And when you read the Word of God, we should read it like someone who is digging for treasure, like someone that's searching out the answers. And within the pages of God's Word, there are answers to every question and to every need. One of the things that is on my mind, on my heart, is that I want to see people come to the Lord. I want to see a revival of souls being saved. And I know as far as God is concerned, that he wants them to be saved more than I do. And they're out there by the hundreds and thousands, and they need the Lord. So this verse of Scripture has been on my mind as a... And let's just read this verse, and we'll talk about it for a little while here tonight. John chapter 12 and verse 32. And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. The Lord himself speaking, saying, I will be the attraction. I'll be the drawing power. And I'm reminded of this so many times that as believers, as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, that all that we do needs to bring glory and honor to the Lord. Amen. Everything we do, every ministry effort, every song, every word, everything that we say, we want to lift him up. We want to honor the Lord. Amen. Because he is the attractive force. He's the one that draws men to the kingdom of God. It's only through Jesus Christ. Sometimes, and you can get all kinds of books and materials that talk about how to make your church more attractive to people out there in the world. And it's really interesting, all the different things that people suggest for you to do. And don't take me wrong, I appreciate the fact that we have a wonderful building and facility here, and I'm very grateful to the Lord, and I know that you are grateful. The Lord has blessed us in a lot of ways. Sometimes they suggest, well, if you have beautiful music, that will attract people into the house of the Lord. Again, I'm grateful for music and talent and all these things that play a very important role in church. And there's just a lot of things that from the world's perspective, that they seem to think this is what would make the church something attractive to the world. But that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, when I'm lifted up, when I'm exalted, and not just lifting up Jesus, but he said, when I'm lifted up from the earth, and speaking of his death on the cross, his burial, his resurrection, that message being the central theme of everything we do and everything that we believe, that's what draws people to Christ. Amen. The message of the cross. Now, the cross is not an attractive thing. When you think about the cross, it was a horrible thing that Jesus went through, and the death of the cross and the burial and all of that. There was a lot of it was just gruesome and horrible, the things that he went through. And so naturally it would not be something that would attract you. But Jesus said, when I am lifted up from the earth, that And he's talking about this, the power of the gospel, what Jesus did, and how that it is the only means, the only way that men can be saved, that this is the truth, this is the message that draws men. And it has always been true. Amen. But this is the attractive force, the cross, the message of the cross, and the message of the resurrection. That is the compelling, drawing force that we need to be preaching, promoting, teaching, and encouraging all of our services, our lives, even our testimony, all needs to point to the fact of what He has done. Amen. That is the force that brings power. Amen. It is the drawing power that draws men to Christ. I had read this quote earlier, and A.J. Gordon said this, very prominent writer of decades ago, if the church attracts men without transforming them, she weakens herself by her increase. Let me read it again. If the church attracts men without transforming them, she weakens herself by her increase. So if we're able to draw men because we can put on a good show, or because we have something that would, you know, appeal even to the flesh and draw people to the house of the Lord, we're not really building up the kingdom of God when we do that, because we're diverting from the message that is the only way that men can be saved, and that is through Christ. Him lifted up from the earth, the message of His death, burial, and resurrection. That is the drawing. That is the force that draws men to God. Genesis 28 and verse 14, speaking to the Jewish nation, it said, in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Speaking of Jesus that was going to be born many, many hundreds of years, 2,000 years or 3,000 years later, that Jesus was going to be born, and that all the families of the earth were going to be blessed by the coming of Jesus Christ. Genesis 49 and verse 10, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. That's the attraction. Jesus is the attraction. There's just something wonderful and mysterious about the message of the cross. Why do you think that there's lawsuits going on in our nation right now to try to get people to take down crosses that people have erected on private property, but they're suing them to get them to try to tear down the crosses? We don't want that, because there is this compelling, strong force that draws men to God whenever they hear the message of the cross. They hear the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 10, in that day shall there be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. An ensign was like a flag or a banner that a captain or a general would hoist this ensign, and he would get to a high point, a prominent place, so that all of the armies would know this is the central place that we need to be drawn to. It would all be drawn to the one that was going to be their leader. And it's describing that Jesus is that banner. He's that flag, that ensign that is lifted up from the earth. And because of that, people gather to Him. And it's been true for generations, ever since Jesus came to this world and laid down His life. There have been people who have been drawn by the message of the cross. In every nation, no matter where the gospel is taken, it has a powerful drawing force. Amen. The prophet Haggai, chapter 2, verse 7, he describes Him as the desire of all nations. Amen. All the nations of the earth are drawn to this message of the Lord Jesus Christ. So don't you think that as a church that needs to be the most prominent thing that we emphasize here? That we talk about Jesus, that we preach Christ, that we preach His death, His resurrection, and we make that the central theme of what we do, especially as it relates to those that are lost, and that God by His Spirit draws men to this message of the cross. Amen. It was that for that reason that the Apostle Paul he said, without being ashamed at all, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation." This is the way that men can comprehend and understand how that they can be saved and that they need the Lord. That's the attractive force that needs to be so central to all that we do right here at this local church. Amen. It'll draw men. It draws men to the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul quoted Isaiah and said, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be confounded." And that word confounded there means disappointed. That no one that comes to Jesus and truly meets the Lord and gets saved, born again, they're not going to be let down. They're not going to be disappointed. They're going to find the answer to the question of their life. Amen. That it is only through Jesus Christ. Amen. When He's lifted up from the earth, that was describing His death. So it's not just a visible evidence of a cross, but it's when the world sees you and I, our lives, sacrificially laid down for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ, when they see that we are willing to give of ourselves, then they are going to respond to that message, and they'll respond to you. You can talk to people about their need to get saved, but whenever they can see that your life, that you have went to the cross and that you have died out to your old life, and that you have resurrection power in your life as the result of seeing that in your life and your testimony, the world is going to be drawn to that. They are drawn to the message of the gospel, whether it be preached or whether it is lived out every day in your experience with the Lord. So this is the drawing power. Amen. Well, I want to see people come to the Lord, get saved. I want to see families get saved and children and young people get saved and just see just a flood of people come in to the kingdom of God. And I really think that the Lord, He deals with us and talks to us about this most important theme that we need to be continually preaching and living out before the world, that Jesus died, that Jesus was buried, and that He rose from the dead. And because of that, we all can walk in the power of the resurrection and live in the power of the resurrection. And that power draws men to God. I heard this story about you probably heard me mention K.P. Yohanan. He's a Gospel for Asia missionary. But his ministry trains mostly Indian and Pakistani nationals to go out into the nation and to preach the gospel. One young boy he told about was a young boy, very, very small and very, very thin, and just but the Lord put it on this young man's heart to go to a northern village that was known for its murdering of Christians. But yet the Lord put it on this young boy's heart to go there. He went there, and sure enough, the very first day that he's there, They attack him, they threaten him, and they tell him, if you don't leave by tomorrow, we're going to kill you. And so he leaves. He's broken and feels like he's a failure. He goes back to his home in the southern part of India, and there he can't get away from the fact that God has called him to that place. And he knows that if I go back, I'm probably going to die. But he had to come to the place that he was willing to do that. And it was that personal death that brought him to the place that eventually he goes back to that dangerous village. And there, in spite of all of their attempts and all that they do, and he has lots of persecution, but God begins to break through, and they see in him something that they have not seen anywhere else. And they realize that he has the true and the living God in his life. And that's the testimony that he lives, because he has come back knowing that he is going to die and lay down his life. And that had such a powerful effect upon that village that within 2 years, a church is established and a building is built there. And believers are coming to the Lord. And some of the ones that were the greatest, that brought the greatest threat against him, the most evil and wicked ones of that village, are the ones who come to the Lord and become leaders in that church. How does that happen? How could it possibly happen? Well, it has to be through this living message of the gospel that was lived out by this young man with a desire to see those lives changed. Amen. And I just believe that God, you know, there are just so many people that are within our reach, and it's the transforming power of God that can bring change into the lives of people and cause them to be saved, to be truly born again. Would you just pray with me? And I know that many of you are praying about this, but let's pray together and ask the Lord, Lord, help us to reach those that are out there in this world. They're far removed from the things of God, but help our lives, our testimony, the life that we live, let it be one that is sacrificially. Let them see in us Christ lifted up. And as a result, come to the Lord and be truly born again of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Amen. When you read Matthew 5, 6, and 7, those are the principles of the kingdom of God. But when you start reading there in chapter 8, chapter 9, then you read about one miracle after another. The drawing power that drew men to Jesus, and they would come, and they would be tax collectors and people of all different types of need, those that had leprosy, but yet he would touch them, even though no one else would have anything to do with them. He would touch them, and he would provide the miracle and the healing. And as a result, people came. They saw the power of God that was resting upon him, and that drew men to him. And that will draw men to your life, to my life, to this local church. It will draw men if they witness the power of the resurrection in our lives. Amen. That they see the demonstration of God's power at work in our lives. And we don't need to lose heart, but instead we need to believe the word of God and act upon the truth of God's word, that God is able to change the most hard and unresponsive people and bring them and draw them. When he's lifted up, men are drawn. And when they see Christ and they see the power of Christ, then they're drawn to that. Amen. When there is a living demonstration of God's power among us, men and women will be drawn to that. Hallelujah. Amen. So if we try some new thing, let's put on some kind of a show and let's have something and we use our natural abilities, that is not going to, that may attract them for, you know, a service or two. But what we need to see is lives changed. Transformation. Power of God, turning lives around, to see people really changed by the power of God and given new life in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And they're everywhere. They are everywhere out here within our reach right here in this community. Amen. You don't have to worry about, am I going to get somebody that belongs to another church? You don't have to worry about that. They're out there by the hundreds and thousands that never darken the door of any church. There are. This community is changing. It's changing dramatically, and all kinds of new people. I've mentioned this before, but there are dozens of people that are moving into this city and this county every month, new people. And it's changing, and many people, many of these, don't know the Lord. They need God so desperately. We also have in this community, we have second and third generation people. Their grandparents knew the Lord, served the Lord, but now they've passed down to a couple of generations. They've moved away from the things of God. We've got third generation now that they may have had grandparents who served the Lord, but now they're far removed from the things of God. They don't know much about it at all. They're just ignorant to the things of the Lord. That's very prevalent right here in our community. People who have a heritage of spiritual things, but they don't know anything about a real life in Jesus. Those are the ones that we need to be reaching. Amen. Those are the ones. Those that God puts into your path and my path, that God can help us to reach them. Only this message of Christ will attract them. That's what's going to bring them in. When they see Christ in you, His power in you, then they are going to want what you have. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's pray for souls to be saved. And let's believe God that even this weekend, God will save the lost this coming weekend. And would you purpose in your heart, I'm going to talk to some people. I'm going to invite some people to come to church that need Jesus. So desperately need the Lord. Amen. And let the Lord use you to bring someone into the house of the Lord this weekend.